Good morning, church family. Let's give another hand for the seniors. If you guys want to sit with your families, you can't. You can sit there. But if you want to sit somewhere else, you can sit with your families. So typically, you know, this is a unique experience because Blake was able to do Senior Sunday. So that's great. I'm so happy to be able to share this. To be able to see the impact that Blake's had on all of you guys is great. And I'm sorry I'm going to miss out on some of that. Sooner and I got to kind of bond a little bit on Wednesday night talking about our aches and our pains and our slowing metabolisms. I think mine are a little bit slower than his, but it was still a good experience. Every year, when I was in Stillwater, I would talk about how every year Senior Sunday gets a little bit harder because I spend a little bit more time with the students that I am talking about. And this year, sorry to say, guys, but this is the easiest one that I'm going to get to do here at Central. So I hope in the few remaining months that you guys will kind of stick around and I definitely will get to know you guys. But I know that they're going to get harder from here. I'm not sure what it says about the leadership here that they were willing to let their brand new minister preach on his second week, third week of being here. I guess they really trust me or they trust somebody. But I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to be able to share this morning with you guys. On a Senior Sunday, I feel like one of the most fitting things you can talk about is change. Because it is so apparent when you talk about Senior Sunday, you're looking at the lives of students who are going to be changed forever in the coming weeks, months, and years. And so this morning I want to talk about change. What does change look like? How do we get there? What's really important about change? Something you don't know about me, but I like to get really, really, really into things for very brief periods of time. So I really like podcasts and I listen to a podcast and then I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to love this thing. And for a month, I'll just learn a bunch of random facts about whatever that thing is, like plane hijackings, for example, as a real example. I'm going to talk about it in a second. But I just learned everything I could about it because I thought it was so interesting. And then a month later, I kind of lose interest and move on. And I'd say over 50% of the conversations I have with my wife starts with, hey, did you know? And then she, of course, is like, why do you know that? It's because I listen to lots of podcasts. Fun fact. Well, I don't know if it's a fun fact. It is a fact. So since 1931, there have been 1,066 recorded plane hijackings. Okay, in the continental United States between 1968 and 1972, there were 130 hijackings. So this included the infamous D.B. Cooper jumping out of the plane with $200,000, never to be seen again. That's a lot of hijackings. Then 9/11 occurred, September 11th, 2001. And this, of course, resulting in, you know, almost 3,000 deaths, single deadliest terrorist attack in human history. So since 2001, there have been 50 global hijackings. So almost in however many years that's been, there's only been 50 more hijackings. Guess how many there have been in the continental United States since 9/11? Zero. That's astounding, right? So since 9/11, there have been zero plane hijackings. And before that, there were hundreds, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And it makes you think, why? Why did we let people hijack planes? Why did we let people do that over and over and over again? And things changed, of course, because of the sheer magnitude and tragedy of 9/11. But what it tells us, I think, is that change is inherently difficult. And sometimes it takes hard things or big things in order for us to really make changes in our lives. We're currently in the midst of a huge season of change, just as a country, as a world, as we kind of navigate the tail end of the pandemic. It has been just, I mean, everything's been flipped upside down for the last almost year and a half now. And for so many of us, we find ourselves in this strange place where what life was like before and what life is like now, we don't know. What's it going to look like as we move forward into the future? So we find ourselves in this kind of liminal space, or the space in between. And those are places that we don't like to find ourselves. These places where we have to think about things and we look back fondly at the way things were before. But the truth is that that's gone. Whatever the new normal is will be different in some way, because that's inherently just a part of life, is that we will face change. Change is ever present in our lives. And change is difficult, even on a biological level. Change is difficult. We're kind of wired for safety and security. That's ingrained in our DNA to do whatever it takes to survive. And that usually means doing the same things over and over and over again because they work. But that kind of runs contrary to what God wants for our lives, because God ultimately wants us to look more like Jesus. And that means that we have to stop looking like ourselves and we have to start looking like him. And so we have to go from where we are to where God wants us to be. I love the example from Exodus 14, where they're out in the wilderness and they've left Egypt, and the people are complaining and they're like, what, there weren't enough graves in Egypt? They couldn't have just left us there to die? Because change is so hard. We would rather have the known quantity and stay in slavery in Egypt than be out in the wilderness and not know what's going to happen next. Because change can be hard. But I want us to see this morning that change is ultimately a good thing, because change often leads to growth. And I think change is absolutely fundamental to our relationship with God. The entire story of God kind of shows humanity's shortcomings and our inability to change over and over again. We're going to look at a passage from Jeremiah 29, which we read this morning in the call to worship. This is a passage that we love for graduating seniors, and that's kind of why I picked it this morning. It's a great passage, and I don't want to knock Jeremiah 29:11, but I think we can find an even deeper truth if we look at Jeremiah 29 within the context of the chapter of what's kind of going on in the lives of God's people. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn over there to Jeremiah 29. We'll be looking at verses 4 through 11. I'll read that again just for context. But here we have what's left of God's people. So Israel is gone. Israel has been eliminated. The Assyrians kind of wiped them out. All that's left is Judah and that remnant of God's people. And here they have been taken into captivity. So they are now in Babylon. And so Jeremiah is writing to people, prophesying to people who are no longer there. They're no longer, they're now in Babylon. So this is Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 11. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. So up to this point, what is being said is that God is going to take us back. He's going to get us back to the way things were before. He's going to take us back to the promised land. And what God is telling them through Jeremiah is, yes, I will, but not right now. And so that means that God's people have to change. They have to change the way that they're living their lives, because they haven't moved on. And God is telling them to move on in this passage. So verse 10, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Which is a beautiful passage about God keeping his promises. But not yet. That's what we see in Jeremiah 29, is that they so desperately want to get back to the way things were that they're not living their lives. And God says, what I want you to do is I want you to plant gardens, and I want you to build homes, and I want you guys to invest in the community that you're living in Babylon. And for God's people, they're going, I don't want to do that. I want things to go back to the way they were. I don't want to be here. These people don't recognize God the way that I do. They don't care about things. They're a bunch of heathens, whatever it is. And God's saying, you're missing out on this huge opportunity to grow because you're worried about the past. You're not looking forward to what's coming next. But you may say, Derek, change isn't always good, okay? The world is full of really, really, really bad changes. Just look at the way society handles lots of things nowadays. And absolutely, I understand. I get it. Because there are lots and lots of negative things. And it's really easy for the negative changes that we see in the world to become negative changes inside of us. Okay, that my point here this morning is that we have to be discerning, right? We have to know when to make changes and what to change. But I think ultimately, if we're open to change, good things are going to happen. When we close ourselves off from the possibility of change, it limits severely what God can do in our lives. So there's some reasons. Why do we not change? What are the things? Sometimes we don't know that we need to change, right? Sometimes we're kind of oblivious, or we're ignorant of the fact that something is wrong with the way I do things or the way I think about things. And so, you know, we need to get more information. We need to see things from more perspectives. That's a part of it. But most of the time, it's because we're afraid. I think, honestly, that's what it is. I know it is for me. I don't want to change because I'm afraid that I'm going to have to give something up. Something that I'm comfortable with, something that I'm used to. I'm going to have to give up power or control or understanding in order to do something else. Us moving here to Ada is an example of that. I'm a creature of habit, okay? And I knew I needed to change. I knew I needed something else, something more, so that I could grow, so that I could become better. I knew I needed that for me. I knew I needed that for my family. But it's still hard. It's hard for us to take the steps that we need to go about making positive changes in our lives. And God's people in Babylon, they're thinking the same thing. This is a mistake. This is not where I'm supposed to be. Okay? I don't know what happened. There was a mix-up in communication, but I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be back there with everybody else. And that's not always the case. So we have to be open to what God is trying to do in our lives. I'm going to tell a quick story, and I'll wrap this up so we can get out of here, hopefully, on time. Ben Taylor is a YouTuber. I know I just lost half of you in the room, okay? Half of you went, YouTube, I'm done. Okay, this story is irrelevant. So he makes videos on the internet, and he gets paid to do that. That's hopefully that contextualizes it a little bit for you. So one day, Ben gets a message on Facebook from what looks like a spam account. So he gets a message from this guy named Joel in Liberia, West Africa. And Joel is asking if Ben will sell him the equipment that he uses to make his YouTube videos so that he can sell them on the market in Liberia at a huge markup, and that he'll split the profits with him 50-50. Okay, so this is the message that he receives. Ben, of course, is not buying it, right? Like, he's like, no, absolutely not. This is crazy. But he goes, this is maybe an opportunity, right? I can teach this guy something. And so Ben decides to keep this guy kind of on the hook, right? He goes, the longer that I can keep this guy occupied, that means the less people that he can scam out of money. And so he tells Joel that he is also a professional photographer and that he will pay Joel to take pictures of things, and that he can send him the pictures, and if they're good enough, he'll publish them, and he'll send Joel a percentage of this. So he's thinking that he's playing this joke on this guy, to get him occupied. And so sure enough, a couple days goes by, and Ben begins to receive emails of pictures that this guy Joel in Liberia, West Africa, is sending him. Shot on some, you know, Nokia flip phone, terrible pictures, horrible lighting, can't tell what any of the pictures are, but he sends them day after day after day after day. And Ben's finally like, I gotta respond to this guy. And so he does. He responds to him and he says, you know, you need to work on your composition. You need to work on your lighting. There's these things about these pictures that you need to start working on. And he's thinking, you know, okay, I bought myself a few more days. He'll take more pictures. And again, he won't be scamming people. But Ben begins to notice something, and that's that the pictures start to get better. He can tell that Joel is trying to take better photos. He says the light composition gets better. The framing of the photos gets better. He can tell that this guy's actually making kind of a concerted effort to improve his ability to take photos. And so Ben, against his better judgment, decides to go to Walmart and buy him a digital camera and send it to him. And he goes, I'm just going to lose the money that I buy on this camera, but I just want to see where this goes. And so he goes and he buys a cheap digital camera and he mails it to this guy in Liberia. And so he thinks, okay, he's going to take that camera and he's going to go sell it. And that's the end of this discussion. But sure enough, a few days goes by and more photos start showing up from Joel. But now the photos are clear. He can see what he's actually taking pictures of. And so Ben begins to see the life of Joel through Joel's eyes, what Joel sees on a daily basis in his village in Liberia. And he sees the poverty that he lives in. He sees the lack of resources that he has access to. And Ben begins to feel something. He begins to feel connected in some way to this guy named Joel, who's a scammer on the internet. And so Joel continues to send photos over and over and over again. And Ben decides, okay, this guy has invested no telling how many hours in taking these photos for me. So I'm going to try to keep my end of the bargain. And so he's got, you know, a decent following on YouTube, on social media. And so he makes photo books of these photos that Joel's taking in Liberia. And they sell thousands of copies of these books. Thousands. And so now Ben has all this money and he goes, well, I told the guy 50-50. That was the original agreement that he wanted to have. So that's what I'm going to do. And so he sends him this money. He sends Joel the money that they made. Ben doesn't feel good about keeping his money. And so he wants to give it away. He wants to give it to charity. And so he asks Joel if there's anything that he can do with that money. And Joel says, yeah, absolutely. He goes, you can give the money to me and I'll give it to people who need it. And Ben goes, I don't know about that. It's a good size amount of money. He says, we don't have resources for our schools here. He says, our village, the villages around us don't have resources. And so we could really use that money for funding. And so Ben, again, against his better judgment, decides to send him the money. And so Joel, weeks go by, and Ben's thinking, okay, the guy took the money and he ran. Like, that's it. This is the end of this conversation. Life-changing amounts of money have been given to this man. Weeks go by, and all of a sudden, Ben gets an email with a video. And so with his money, Joel went and bought a really nice camera. Then he took a video of him gathering all of these school supplies and then going to these various schools and delivering the supplies. And he sends it so Ben can see it. And Ben's absolutely blown away about what has taken place from just a few months before this conversation over Facebook Messenger from the scammer to what has now taken place. Ben and Joel go on to start a nonprofit together in Africa, a nonprofit that supplies schools with resources. And now Joel does that part-time, and he's also a professional photographer. And Ben said, never in a million years did I think that this is what would happen. I'm going to try to read this quote without crying, so I'm gonna do that. I'm letting you guys know that I'm a crier right now. I'm going to take a drink of water. See if I make it through this. We're almost done, I promise. Elise knows that I cry all the time now. Something about having kids, it just breaks that switch in you. He says, when being interviewed about this, he says, when you give someone a chance, sometimes they're not who you think they are. Sometimes they surprise you, and sometimes you end up being the answer to their prayers. And he goes on to say, and sometimes they end up being the answer to your prayers. This is awesome. Awesome life lesson that's learned here. Ben thought that he was going to change this guy, right? He thought that he was going to make an example of him because he knew how things are supposed to be. And so, but that didn't end up being the case. Joel ended up changing him. Joel showed him what his life was like, and that changed who Ben was fundamentally. So much so that he dedicated a huge portion of his life to now raising resources for people in Africa. Sometimes change doesn't always happen the way that we think it's going to happen. And sometimes we don't always know when we need to change or how we're going to change. But the truth is, God does. And if we keep ourselves open to what God is going to do in our lives, I mean, the possibilities are limitless of what God can accomplish through us. It would have been easier for Ben to ignore Joel, for him to, you know, not do anything with that conversation. Because meaningful change doesn't happen overnight. We know that it takes time and it takes effort and it takes investment. That's what God calls us to do, to invest in people, to invest in God's mission here on earth, to invest in the kingdom and what the kingdom is trying to do. And when you get worried or when you get scared about change, about, oh, this, I don't like this, this doesn't feel like I'm used to. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And take comfort in that. That God is never going to change. And we're the ones who are trying to be more and more like him. And that's our goal, right? Is that every single day, I look less like me and I look more like him. Maybe it's only from certain angles, or maybe it's, you know, only if you squint really hard, or maybe it's only in the dark. But that's the goal, is that we look more like Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Father, we're grateful for this morning. We're grateful for this time that we're able to honor the seniors, for what they've accomplished in their lives. God, we are grateful for the changes that are coming in their lives. God, we, Father, I wish that I had more time with them so that I could know them better. But there is something that I do know, and that's, Father, that they are loved. They're loved by you most of all, but they are deeply loved by their church family here at Central. And God, we ask that, that you remind them of that. Father, as we strive to make positive changes in our lives, difficult changes, God, we ask for courage and for strength. Father, that we will not be held back by our fears. Father, that we won't be held back by the limitations of our own understanding, God, but that you will push us in the directions that we need to go. Father, that we will remember and take solace in the fact, Father, that you, the same God that carried them into exile, Father, will be the same God that carried them back out. And we know, Father, the same is true for us, that you will carry us out of exile as well. God, we're so grateful for Jesus, and we ask all this in his name. Amen.